We've already announced we want tonight to deal with another one of the musts of the Master. And for tonight, we turn to John 3 and verse 14. And there in the verse 14, the Lord, again reminding ourselves, was speaking to Nicodemus about the subject of salvation, but the need for the new birth. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was something that they couldn't understand. It troubled them greatly while they walked, and they were sad, conversing with one another regarding the events that had just taken place in the city of Jerusalem. They then spoke to the stranger who had joined them and journeyed along the road with them, that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And when the stranger said to them, "What things?" they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth." They went on to tell him, that is, the stranger, the one who was a stranger to them. They went on to tell the stranger how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Then it was time for the stranger to speak. And in so doing, he turned those Emmaus travelers to the Scriptures. And he turned them to the books of Moses and the prophets. And he said unto them in Luke 24, verse 25, then he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So the Old Testament Scriptures spoke of Christ and how he would be crucified and put to death. So Moses spoke of him. Moses spoke of him and the prophets and throughout the Old Testament Scriptures through the types and the foreshadowings of the coming Christ. And now the Lord takes one of those types from the life of Moses and the same stranger, namely the Lord Jesus himself, spoke to Nicodemus about what Moses had done and how Moses had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And the Lord Jesus said, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He must be lifted up. And here once again is another must that would lead Christ to the place of suffering and shame and death. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so as we consider these words of the dear Savior, one is to notice, first of all, that in his words we have a picture of Christ on the cross. We have a picture of Christ on the cross, a type, if you like. The dear Savior takes an incident from the life of Moses and uses it to show what would take place. And that outside the city of Jerusalem. Moses, in his writings, gave a picture of Christ and how he would take his place on the cross. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers. And here we have Moses speaking about the very incident. Here in Numbers, and we read in Numbers in the chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And here we have the background to the raising up of the brazen serpent, which was a type of the lifting up of Christ. Numbers 21. And we read there in the verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. Mark those words. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, that is the manna that God had sent down to them. And they dared to say that they loathed God's supply. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. There it is. Fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What happened next? Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So there's the background to the raising up of the fiery serpent. And regarding this picture of Christ on the cross, I want you to notice, first of all, the rebels. The rebels. The children of Israel once again showed their rebellious nature and attitude. As I've just read there, they rebelled against God and against Moses. They spoke against God. Here we have then, regarding their rebellion, we have their complaining. Rebels they were, every one of them, highlighted by the words, the people spake against God. This is typical of all of the sons of Adam's fallen race, taking those two words, against God. That's what every man is by nature. He's against God. He's against his creator. He is against his maker. Man sins against God. Man speaks against God. Man strives against God. As the prophet has said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. The children of Israel are seen here in Numbers 21, striving with their maker. They spake against God. And oh, what woes await all who are against God. All who strive with their maker. Woe abides upon them. And the woe that the Lord pronounced upon the Pharisees will be the woe that will be pronounced upon every man and woman who is against God. What was that woe? Ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? And everyone who is against God, they will not escape the damnation of hell. Their sin will take them down to a lost eternity. All who are against God, who strive against Him, speak against Him, sin against Him, against God, their complaining, their condemnation. God's judgment came upon those who were against God. In verse 6, God sent the fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They were condemned. Those who were against God, there was severe retribution. God sent the fiery serpents. And many of those complaining Israelites, we're told, died. And the poison from those fiery serpents raced through their veins and took the lives of many of them. And as sure as night follows day, God will judge sin and the sinner and all who are against God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12:19. And so we better take heed. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It's the Lord. Who says that? And God will deal with all who are against Him. Is there any hope then at all for Israel? God had sent the fiery serpents, and they had been bitten. And the people who were bitten by the fiery serpents, much people in Israel, died. The vengeance of God. Was there any hope then for others? Well, we have considered the rebels. That then leads us to consider the remedy. They didn't deserve it, the children of Israel. No. When we've read tonight what they said against God. And as for this light bread, we loathe it. We loathe this light bread. They loathed the manna, a gift from God. And let's remember the manna is a type of Christ. And they said that they loathed that light bread. And yet, God afforded them a remedy for their sin. Here was the remedy for their sin. So Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, verse 8. And that pole would need to be lifted up, of course. Need to be lifted up above the heads of the children of Israel so that every man could see it. And what did the Lord say there in the verse 8? And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So it needed to have been lifted up for everyone in the camp of Israel to see it. And so the fiery serpent was put on a pole and lifted up so that everyone who would look upon that fiery serpent, everyone who had been bitten by the fiery serpent, when they looked upon it, they would be reminded that it was the fiery serpents that bit them. It was the fiery serpents that poisoned them and brought death their way. They had felt the sting of the fiery serpents because of their rebellion. But then God said, everyone that is bitten, that looketh upon the fiery serpent there on that pole, has been lifted up. If they look, they will live. And the Lord Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there what took place in the wilderness was a type of what would take place later on Calvary's Hill. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's as if the Lord was saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see it? Do you get the picture? Moses lifted up the serpent, and everyone that looked upon that serpent lived. I must be lifted up, the Lord said. And as God provided a way of escape, a way of salvation, if you like, for the children of Israel, in the lifting up of the brazen serpent, so God has provided a way of escape, a way of salvation for all today who are against God. Look to Christ, look and live. He's lifted up on the cross. We have the rebels, we have the remedy, then there's the requirement. What did the Lord tell Moses? The Lord said, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, upon the fiery serpent, everyone that looketh upon it shall live. Verses 8 and 9. That was the requirement. You had to look. Obviously, if any man in the camp of Israel had been bitten by the serpent and didn't look at the brazen serpent, well, he would die of the poison that was running through his veins. So the requirement was, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh, the requirement was they had to look to the brazen serpent that was lifted up on that pole. But notice, it is emphasized that everyone who looked, God said he'll live. This is put another way in verse 9. Any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass live. Everyone, any man. Those are great phrases and great words in relation to the gospel. Everyone. Anyone who looks to Christ. Everyone. Anyone can come and receive Christ as Savior. Everyone. Any man. No restrictions. It was open, as it were, to all who had been bitten by the fiery serpent. And you know the way to the cross is open to anyone, to everyone. Not everyone will come. The Lord applies that what took place in the wilderness. He applied it to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we have considered the picture of Christ on the cross, as seen there in Numbers 21. That leads to consider the purpose of Christ on the cross. The purpose. All who would read the story of the fiery serpent lifted up on a pole in the wilderness would see Christ there. It's a type of the Lord Jesus and his work on Calvary. As we said, the Lord spoke to those Emmaus disciples and he opened to them the scriptures, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, and he went through all the scriptures. Because all the scriptures, Moses, the prophets, and all the scriptures speak of Christ, as was said, in types and foreshadowings. And the Lord took one of those types, namely Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. He took that type and he showed Nicodemus Christ. He showed him himself. Purpose. The purpose of Christ is revealed in that particular event of Moses lifting up the serpent. We see, first of all, the purpose of Christ was definite. This is what something we have emphasized as we've gone through this series thus far, the must of the Master. When the Lord Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up, it was definite about it. The Savior was definite about how he would die. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He knew he was going to be lifted up on a cross. He knew he was going to be nailed to a cross. Christ knew how he would die. Now he had been threatened during the days of his public ministry. He had been threatened by his enemies, and how they were going to put him to death, and wanted to put him to death. He had been threatened with being stoned to death. John 10, verse 31, and the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And so he was going to be stoned to death by the Jews, those who hated him. But the Lord said to Nicodemus, no, Son of Man must be lifted up. Christ knew he would not die by stoning. And Christ was definite about that, because he said the Son of Man must be lifted up. Lifted up, and was lifted up there to die. He had also been threatened with being thrown down from the brow of a hill. In Luke 4, verse 29, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of a hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And so his enemies threatened to stone him to death. But Christ could reply and respond to them by saying, no, no, the Son of Man must be lifted up. There were those who wanted to cast him down off the brow of a hill, and Christ could stand and say to them, no, I'll not die by being cast down. I will die by being lifted up. Be lifted up on a cross. And we might say then to John, for John has recorded what the Lord said to Nicodemus, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we might say, as it were, to John, why? Why was Christ lifted up? Well, the Lord replied that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's why. And that's why Christ was definite about it. Because as the children of Israel, bitten by the serpents, looked to the raised up brazen serpent on a pole, Christ would be lifted up, and all who would look to him there on the cross, they would be saved. They would be delivered from their sin. The Lord Jesus said again in John 12, verse 32, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Do you see the connection? Moses would lift up the serpent in the wilderness on a pole, and obviously men would be drawn to that raised up serpent, drawn to it, so that they might look upon it and be saved from death, from the judgment of God that was poured out upon the children of Israel because of their rebellion. They were drawn to that raised up serpent. And here the Lord Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he would die. John 12, verse 33. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this he said, signifying what death he would die. Let that, as it were, sink in. The Lord said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, signifying what death he would die. And yet the Lord said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He knew he was going to die by crucifixion. It wouldn't be stones that would pierce his flesh. It would be cruel nails. No, he wouldn't be cast down from the brow of a hill. Instead, he would be lifted up. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He was lifted up. So no hell-inspired plot, a wicked man, would hinder nor halt the Lord's definite purpose. There were those who wanted to cast him down headlong. There were those who wanted to stone him. But God, or the Lord, said, I must be lifted up. I'll not be cast down. I'll not be stoned. I must be lifted up. That was his definite purpose. And he knew that he must be lifted up, that the likes of you and I could be saved. That the likes of you and I can look up to that raised cross and see one hanging there in sorrow and shame, and recognize him as our substitute, and recognize him as our Savior. If we look to him, we'll live. And any man who looks to Christ shall live. Shall live. Any man. Isn't that what it said there in Numbers 21? Any man anyone who looked to the brazen serpent, they looked and they lived. And any man who looks to Christ will live. Praise the Lord, they'll live. They'll receive the gift of eternal life. So when the Lord said, the Son of Man must be lifted up, he was speaking about something that was definite. When the Lord said, the Son of Man must be lifted up, speaks to us of his determination. He was determined. The Son of Man must be lifted up. That speaks of determination. This shows us how determined he was as he walked that road to Calvary. Those who sought to stone him to death or cast him down from the brow of a hill sought to thwart his purposes. Just as Peter, remember, sought to thwart the Lord's purposes. When the Lord said he would be going to the cross, and Peter tried to stand in his way. And the Lord here says the Son of Man must be lifted up. He was determined. He determinedly said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And why did Moses lift up the brazen serpent on the pole? The Lord told him that every one that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. And so for the serpent bitten man in the camp of Israel, it was a case of look and live. Look and live. Look and live. The raised up brazen serpent on the pole meant life for all who would look. Likewise, a raised up Christ on the cross would mean life, eternal life, salvation for all who look by faith and look to Christ. Isaiah 45 and verse 22, we read, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." So the Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved. Look and live. And now we see why the dear Savior was so determined to be lifted up on the cross, because the salvation of all of his people depended on it. You think of that. Believer, your salvation and mine depended on Christ going to the cross and depended on Christ being lifted up, that we might look by faith to him and look and live. There could not be life. There could not be salvation apart from Christ being lifted up upon the cross, that we could look to him. Our salvation depended on it. Now we see why Christ was so determined. Because Christ always had his people upon his heart. He always thought about us. He had us on his heart. And as we read there, again, in our text, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If Christ had not been lifted up upon the cross, we would have had no one to look to. And the Lord Jesus, with all of his people upon his heart, knew that all of his elect depended on him being lifted up on the cross. Without Christ being lifted up and being crucified there on the cross of Calvary, there was no salvation for us. That's why the Lord said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. When he said that, he was thinking of you and of me. He was thinking of us. Therefore, the Lord said, he must be lifted up. He must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He had the souls and the salvation of all of his people upon his heart when he uttered those words. I must be lifted up, that my people may look by faith to me, there on the cross, and be saved, and receive life eternal. I must be lifted up. He was definite. He was determined. But there's something else about the Lord being lifted up. He would be denounced. It's interesting that the Lord told Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Interesting that it was a representation of a serpent, the very creature that had bitten the people and poisoned them, that they died. And what is it that brings death to all men? It is the poison of sin. And so get a hold of this. As the children of Israel looked on the fiery serpent, they saw a representation of the creature that had brought death to so many in the camp. It reminded them of their sin. Because if they had not criticized and stood against God, God wouldn't have sent the fiery serpent. But the poison rests through their veins. And when they looked at that fiery serpent, they were reminded of their sin. So Christ was nailed to the cross. And he was lifted up. And he who knew no sin was made sin for us. When Israel looked upon the fiery serpent, they were reminded of their sin. When we look to the lifted up Christ, we are reminded of our sin, because it was our sin that put him there. It was our sin that nailed him there. We might as well have held the hammer that drove in the nails. We might as well have plaited the crown of thorns. We might as well have been in that crowd that cried out, away with him, crucify him, because it was our sin that nailed him there. And when we see by faith Christ on the cross, we're reminded, as I said, that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But what would it mean for Christ the Holy One to be lifted up there on the cross? What would it mean? We'll let Paul tell us. We'll let Paul tell us. We might say, Paul, tell us. What did it mean? for the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be nailed to a cross and raised and lifted up. Paul tells us. Paul answers. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You got that? Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Christ hung upon a tree. Galatians 3 and verse 13. And Paul said, as it is written. So where was it written? Well, turn with me to Deuteronomy. There in Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. All right? And hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. Listen, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. Accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. We're speaking here about the one who's hanged on a tree. Christ was hanged on a tree. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Christ was lifted up upon a tree, upon a cross. And what does it say? He that is hanged is accursed of God. He's cursed of God. My Savior was cursed of God. He who knew no sin, he who was daily his Father's delight, he who always did that which pleased the Father, yet he was cursed of the Father. Why? Because of our sin. Because Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And everyone who's lifted up on the tree is cursed of God. And God the Father poured out his wrath and indignation against sin, and it was poured out upon Christ. And listen. The Lord, knowing all of that, still said, as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was determined to go to the cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. We've considered the picture of Christ on the cross. We have the purpose of Christ on the cross. And then we finally have the prominence of Christ on the cross. He was lifted up. We have seen that the dear Savior knew that he must be lifted up to save his people. He was determined to go to that place called Calvary and there to be crucified and there to be lifted up. He was determined because he was going there to die for us and save us from eternal death. We see here the words of Christ when he said the Son of Man must be lifted up. First of all, he spoke of an individual. The Son of Man must be lifted up. And all who looked upon him by faith would be saved. It was an individual. When Moses was told by God to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole, we're told that God commanded Moses to tell the people, any man bitten by a serpent, if he looks at the brazen serpent, he'll live. The people didn't look at Moses. Moses may have been the one holding the pole and lifting it up, but the people didn't look to Moses. They looked to the brazen serpent. And so it is. We don't look to men for salvation. We don't look to a man. We don't look to a preacher. We don't look to a priest. We look to Christ. He's the one who is lifted up. He is the elevated one. He is the prominent one. He's lifted up above all men. Praise the Lord. He's lifted up above all men. We're not to look to anyone else, nor anywhere else. We're to look to the crucified Christ, the one who said, I must be lifted up. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So we see again why the Savior said that he, as the Son of Man, must be lifted up. Because there was no one else. There was no one else for a dying sinner to look to. There was no one else for a sinner, a man or woman, who was against God. No one else for them to look to. But Christ. Christ alone, the individual. As well as the individual, there is here an incentive. Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, and all who looked were saved from death. Well, if Moses lifted up the serpent and saw people saved from death, is that not an incentive for us to lift up Christ? Anytime young people will ask me to sign their Bible, I'll sign their Bible, and they always sign it John 12:32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And that's why. And it is an earnest prayer. Before I preach, I ask the Lord, help me to preach Christ. Help me to lift him up. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. There's an incentive. Not only in the pulpit, but in the pew. Not only the man in the pulpit, but the people in the pew, to lift up Christ, to lift him up, to exalt him, to speak well of him. That we might see men and women receive the Lord. Come to the Savior. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Savior said that. There's the incentive. So let us all play our part in lifting up Christ. Lift him up. In all things, he must have the preeminence. And certainly in salvation, he is given all the preeminence. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bless thee again for the picture of our wonderful Savior. And, oh Lord, we cannot do the message of the truth justice at all. We feel so helpless in dealing with the subject. But Lord, I pray that thou will take the words that came from the lips of clay tonight. Use it to thy glory. Use it, Lord, to save some soul tonight. May someone tonight look to the raised up Christ. May they look and live. Trust Christ. Trust him. As their Savior, as the substitute, as the one who bore all their sin. There on that cross when he was lifted up. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts, I pray. Be with us, dear Lord, as we leave the house of God, thanking thee for being with us here in this house today. Lord, I pray thou wilt keep thy hand upon us all throughout this week. Keep every one in our church families safe and well. And save our loved ones. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.